This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live. I repeat, we are live. Welcome into another episode.
We are live.
Yeah, Shane, I'd love to hear you say that, dude. We are live. Anyway, welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. I'm sure you guys know by now, but if you don't, Rule One Proteins is the best in the business. They got the best supplements, the best vitamins, the best, you name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go check us out on all social media platforms. And the podcast is available on everywhere you get podcasts. You guys know the drill. My name is Truck, and I'm joined, as always, by Coles and Shane O'Mac. And today we are talking running back rankings. We're doing redraft. This is pre-training camp. This is a really fun episode I've been looking forward to. Shane, are you as excited as I am?
I'm so excited. You know, winding down the days, I'll be heading out here in the next couple of days, a little vacation time in Colorado. Ooh. So looking forward to that. It's a little different. So we usually go to someplace warm, just hang out by beach, you know. But this will be good because I'm kind of odd. Like, it's tough for me to go on a vacation and not like want to do a workout each day or do something. So this will provide plenty of working out, walk, you know, hiking and stuff. So it's a good compromise for me. So
yeah, some of the best trails in the country over there in Colorado.
Yep.
You're going to rip some edibles.
Maybe, maybe we'll do a special Colorado show.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado,
oh, yeah.
Taking it all in.
Stunned. Nice. Yeah, I love Colorado, dude. That's awesome. I'm excited for you. Coles, what are you up to?
Not much. I'm actually not excited to do running backs.
You're not? What's going on? Why not?
So I just feel like I have a pretty, like, I have my ranking set. We've been doing a ton of drafts, but like with running backs, yeah. I just think, I don't know how prepared I am with running backs. Like, I just feel like there's so much that, more so than with wide receivers, running backs, there's like a lot to play out still with camp. So I think these are going to change a lot. I don't know. It's weird, like, going through these. There's just like the range of outcomes I feel like with running backs are a lot different. So I don't know, like the way that the game is changing and like duo backfields are more relevant than ever. I feel like those are going to change more than any other position group from now until we do our August rankings, you know?
Yeah. Basically like it's harder to predict a running back timeshare versus a target share with wide receivers, right?
Yeah. Just the consistency is different. And I don't know, like Kyren Williams, perfect example, who we'll talk about, like what is going to be the snap count for a Blake Corum or Eckler, like him and B Rob. I don't know. I think like there's so much of that to still play out. Javonte Williams, is he going to be on the Broncos? So right now we're kind of just creating our own narratives before they've actually been written. So, you know, that because of that, there's going to be some strong takes, some cold takes. I don't know. It'll be fine. It's fun to talk about, but I'm just saying it's not as like, it's exciting and fun to talk about, but it's not as like solid, and it's a lot of just speculating.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, it's going to change a lot. That's all I meant by that.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. It's, you know, the opinions on these players really vary from analyst to analyst. So I'm excited to see where you guys have everybody. So let's pull it up and hop right in. And then, excuse me, pardon me. All right. So number one, this is fun looking at, you know, all these different position groups when we do these episodes. And this is yet another episode where we all have the same number one running back, and that's Bijan Robinson. I'll start just by saying, you know, with Kirk Cousins coming in this offense, the offense is going to take a big jump. And I really think Bijan is going to be the centerpiece. We heard the coach talk all offseason in every interview talking about how they're going to – Bijan is going to be the heart and soul of this offense. So, you know, expecting huge numbers from Bijan, you know, very similar to the prime Christian McCaffrey-esque. Is that a fair thing to say, Coles? I know you're taking a drink. Hard to pass it to you, but
– Yeah, I didn't catch that. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, basically how Bijan is going to have and has set up to have an excellent year, close to a production level like Christian McCaffrey at his prime. He has that type of
Moore said, right? Or someone, well, the OC maybe?
Yeah, I think it was the OC. Morris just said that, you know, we know what we have in Bijan, and we're going to be running often, and, you know, he's going to be the main piece of this offense.
Yeah, I think he's the type of player that you want to get him the ball as much as possible, in as many different ways as possible. And they weren't doing that with Arthur Smith. He's a fucking moron. He just thinks he's smarter than everyone. So he's like tries to get super cute when in reality it's like just get the best player the ball and let him do his thing. So that's why he's no longer a head coach. Bijan, I'm super surprised at his numbers, his over-under numbers in Vegas for DraftKings. They have him at 1,500 rushing and 6.5 rushing touchdowns. Mm. I would take the over for sure on both of those numbers. I think like 1,200 is a pretty safe guess, and then 10 rushing. So I like the over on both of those for sure. I don't know, Shane.
You know, now
think about that
real quick though. While you mention that, I feel like there's a lot of episodes that we do where we're talking about these lines. I cannot wait for that episode to record, talking about the lines where we like, because after we hammer out these rankings, there's some obvious every line that we've talked about in previous episodes is just it smashing the over. But Shane, go ahead.
Yeah, I am shocked to hear that line on his touchdowns. When you look at, he had 4 rushing touchdowns last year, was 32nd or 31st in the league in red zone opportunities. That opportunity share is going to go way up with a competent play caller and a competent head coach. So I think 10 is the minimum for him. And I think the biggest thing, you mentioned Kirk Cousins. Even if Kirk Cousins gets hurt or something, I feel much more secure about that offense now with the backup quarterback option there compared to in even their starting quarterback options last year with Michael Penix there. I think he could come in and run that offense well enough to keep his fantasy production near the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I don't see them using Tyler Allgeier as much as they did last year, right? He had 186 carries. That seems outrageous to me. He had 4 rushing touchdowns. I think those numbers drop for Tyler Allgeier, which means Bijan's going to be eating early and often. So, so yeah, that speaks to why we have Bijan at number one. But, you know, Coles and I both have Breece Hall at number 2. Shane, you have him at 3. This was tough for me. I almost wanted to put Breece at 1. I see them in a very similar system, right? It's a very similar skill set. They both have a quarterbacks coming off of Achilles injuries. So you're talking about teams that are going to want to run early and often. And Breece Hall, between those two, it's like a coin flip to me with Breece Hall and Bijan. Mike, what's the difference between those two in your opinion, or do you completely see them as a very similar player?
The difference between the two is that I prefer Bijan just better. That's literally as simple as it gets. I love Bijan. I think Breece is awesome as well. and he's going to be fed as much as any running back in the NFL. That's why, again, I could flip those two, but because I like Bijan and I like cheering for him more, and I want more pieces of, I guess, both offenses. Like you said, they're in a pretty similar spot, but I just love Bijan. I think he's so fun to watch. I think he's the most athletic running back in the NFL, and he's going to make you say, wow, the most. So, like, to me, he's just the sexier player to own, but Breece Hall will for sure be fed as much as any running back in the NFL.
Yeah. So. And, I mean, dude, Bijan's highlights last year, like, if you haven't actually watched a clip of Bijan highlights, stop the video, go watch him. It's insane. Some of the plays that he was able to make. But Shane, you have him at three. You have Christian McCaffrey ahead of Breece Hall. And a lot of people would say Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back. We saw what he did last year, another year in this offense. Why do you have Christian McCaffrey over Breece Hall? And then, you know, we'll talk about why we have him a little bit lower.
Let me tell Shane why he has him over. It's because his lines in Vegas, 1,150.5 rushing, 10.5 rushing touchdowns, 500.5 receiving yards, and 5.5 receiving touchdowns.
Pretty good. And that's for Christian?
Yeah, they have him at 16 touchdowns all day, and then, you know, 1,650 for all-purpose yards. I mean,
and what do you have? Do you have Breece's numbers pulled up, or are you able to access? I'm curious to see
1,050.5 and 7.5 rushing touchdowns.
Okay, so. All right. Well, Shane, do you have anything to say there?
No, I think it's just I think he's got about one more year. I think even if they cut down his carries, which I think over the last 6-7 games they cut his carries down, but the production was still there. He could be even better. I mean, I'm not worried about less touches. It's a much better offense than the Jets with Breece Hall, putting him in better scoring situations. I think, for one more year, I'm willing to have trust McCaffrey, but you know, there's a case easily where Breece could be, if Aaron Rodgers plays every game, and Garrett Wilson is who we think he is. I mean, Breece Hall could easily end up being RB1.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And really, it's hard to say anything bad about Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I have him at three because I think Breece and Bijan are just going to have better years. And that's just what it comes down to. I think all three of them are going to be very similar. You're right over there, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're making some adjustments. What are you doing there?
Just putting him back in the top three.
Okay.
When healthy, he's an auto top three. So like, I just really like Saquon. I think I'm going to be drafting Saquon. Like it's hard for me to, I just think a lot of times rankings are bullshit. Like at a certain point, McCaffrey is just undraftable for me. So like, he could be three, he could be five, he could be, I'm just never going to draft him. So like, for me, whatever, his rankings, three, five, it's the same thing. I'm never drafting him. Because 10 out of 10 times I'm drafting Bijan and Breece over him. So like, people get hung up on their rankings, but in reality, you can pretty much just cross CMC off your board. End of story.
If you don't have him as the number one running back, for sure.
Yeah, but then looking at his numbers, like if he's healthy, he's a top three running back. So, okay, mm-hmm. I'll put him in top three just to have him there. But in terms of accuracy, but that doesn't change the fact I'm going to be fading him this year. And like someone like Saquon, Derrick Henry, I have them at 4-5. I think they're both as talented as anyone else in the NFL at running back. And they went to the best possible offenses that both of them could have gone to. You saw what Swift did last year in a team that kind of just went to shit late. Saquon's just a way better version of that. And he's also hasn't been on a team with a legit chance to win the Super Bowl in a very long time or just win games, to be honest. So,
yeah,
he knows the impact that he can have on a game and on a team and on offense. So he's just going to kick things into a higher gear. Same exact thing with Henry. He's got juice left. He's in an offense that a power runner just dominates in. You saw Gus Edwards, what, 13 or 14 touchdowns last year?
It's something outrageous. I think
Henry gets 20, and I think he has, you know, three minimum 200-yard rushing games, three minimum three rushing touchdown games, and I think he gets, you know, 17 to 20 touchdowns. I would be pretty safe to say that for rushing touchdowns. And he catches the ball too. Like, he's going to have a little bit of receiving to add on to that. So
I will take the under on 200 yard rushing games.
On three of them?
Yeah.
So 2.5 is what we would do.
Yes.
Okay. This is a pod bet I smell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the difference here, Truck, is I'm going to fact check to see, like, what, how many he has had in his career.
No. Fair.
You're just supposed to say, yeah.
Well, bet. Shane, why you have him down at 9?
That's not how it works with me.
Yeah, so I think I've come, and he's actually kind of, he creeps up because, you know, these rankings are, or, you know, are fluid. They should be fluid. I've raised him up. He's started the year off probably at 15, 16. He's up to 9. I can see him jumping Kyren and Travis Etienne by the time drafts get around. Right now, the reason I've got probably the other guys in front of him is their receiving ability, pass catching ability. But by the time the draft gets rare, Henry could bypass those guys. I'll put it this way. If you're going hero RB, I would be perfectly fine with Henry as my hero RB guy in a draft.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's I'll be targeting him for sure.
So in 2019, he had one game over 200. 2022, one game over 200. 2020, he had three games over 200. So I'm not going to say that he's going to have over three games, but I think that he'll have at least one and probably two.
I think that's safe to say. I would agree with that.
And like, one of them is going to come against like a team that you would be completely surprised about, like the Steelers or like one of those divisional opponents where he just goes off on prime time in his black jersey, black visor, and just looks like a total fucking beast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So no, there will be no Shane. There'll be no pod bet on that, Shane. But
so close, Shane.
So close.
You're never gonna get me on an emotional, like, stupid bet. So good luck trying that. But
yeah, you got a better chance with me.
Maybe
Shane,
with Dulcich. You have a much better chance with Dulcich than anyone else.
Okay. But all right. Keep that in mind.
I've already said on the Broncos episode that that my bold prediction is that he will have the most receiving yards of any tight end in the AFC West.
Okay. All right. All right. So we are all lower than consensus with Jahmyr Gibbs. And I mean, he's up at running back 4. I have no idea why he's up that high ahead of Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, all these guys. Like, I mean, David Montgomery is still in this offense. He's still a red zone threat, right? Jahmyr isn't going to come in and get, 70% of the work. I mean, what do you guys, do you have any explanation with Jahmyr Gibbs and any, you know, analysis upside on why we have him lower?
Upside. His upside is he showed that he was as good as anyone, it's receiving the ball, making big plays. Like, if they're not just bleeding teams out and they need to score, he's going to be on the field and he's probably going to be the guy that they target because he has that juice and he's that good and he brings that much spark to an offense. So it's just it's an upside play, but they're baking in the value that he's going to be that guy. And like you said, with Montgomery, He's got 825 and a half rushing yards in Vegas, 8.5 touchdowns. So, you know, I just don't see that being your RB2 having that ceiling this year. I think they're just going to continue to use him effectively, which is really fun to watch, and it's really, he's outstanding, but he's not going to get like the, you know, workload that ETN got last year, or, you know, Rashad White, which is, you know, why they ended up ranking so high to me.
I think mostly people are looking at like the start of the year, which, you know, they're going to ease a rookie in. He only got like more than 8 carries, I think, once in the first 8 games. And then it was like those last 3 weeks when they were pushing for playoff seeding, you know, he was getting 13 to 15 carries. But that's not, if you want Jahmyr Gibbs to be what he is, you can't give him 15 carries a game for every game. They've got to have it 10 carries and 5 receptions, let's call it. So that's what they got to keep him at.
Yeah, I don't know that that's sustainable for him. Like, that's another team that's going to be, I don't know, actually. I was going to say they're going to be, like, at the top of the NFC, but I'm not 100% to say that yet. But we know what that offense is going to be and what it's going to bring. So what was last year, copy-paste to this year, and then just bump everything up from Gibbs based on the last half of the season, what his production was. And that's what you can probably count on.
Yeah.
Have I done that yet? No. So I'm not speaking of like my personal models that have been built. You know, we have discussed the idea of kicking around projection models. So that is exactly how I would do it for Gibbs. What was his production over the last half of the season? Take that into account a full season, and pretty much that's where you're at. So wherever that ranks in these top 10, that's where it'll be. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. You guys helped me understand that one a little bit better. Cause I even with the split that he has with David Montgomery, like I just, to put him in the top 5, just it doesn't seem right to me.
125 and a half rushing yards and 8.5 touchdowns. That's what Vegas is saying, projecting for Montgomery. It's a lot of fucking production.
Absolutely.
That they could have 2,000 yard, or maybe not. Like, is Gibbs also a 1,000 yard rusher then? You know, is that, when's the last time have we had 2,000 yard rushers on one team ever? Probably not. I mean,
I can't remember any time.
Shane's the only aware person that could tell us, probably.
Rocky Blair and Franco Harris. I'm going to dip way back. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened. But
it's a throwback. Who'd they play for, Chuck?
The Steelers?
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What
he got it.
The
that
fuck?
Right. Oh, man, he had to know Franco.
Hey, I know Franco Harris. I know Franco Harris played for the Steelers. I didn't know the first name, but they are.
That's why I said that. I don't.
You didn't know who Franco Harris is?
Dude, I don't give a fuck.
When did
about
he play?
The
Shane
the game
in the 70s or the 60s? 70s.
Immaculate reception.
Don't give a shit. What? How did you know that, Truck?
That was a good.
That might be the most mind-blowing thing that's ever happened to me on this podcast.
Yeah. Check. Put a little mark on my score.
Here we go. In 1976, Franco Harris and Rocky Blair each rushed for over 1,000 yards.
Did you Google that, Truck?
No. I don't have anything in front of me to Google.
I could probably just end this episode right now. So mind-fucked.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back to the rankings. After we talked about Gibbs here, another player we should talk about is Travis Etienne. We all have him very similar. Coles and Shane are at 7. I have him at 8. I believe, do we have him over ECR? I think so, right?
No idea, but Vegas has him as 925.5 rushing, 6.5 touchdowns. That's 100 yards more than Montgomery and 2 less touchdowns. Granted, that doesn't factor in the receiving upside of ETN, but still, like,
yeah,
that's a running back 2 on an offense that has supposedly a top 5 running back.
Yeah, those numbers shouldn't be like that, in my opinion. Yeah.
I don't see that.
Yeah, ETN had a fantastic year last year. And, you know, I think we're in agreement that the Jaguars are going to get better this year. They're going to take a step forward. So I could see ETN having an even better year than he had last year. So that's,
yeah.
You know, like Shane, you got anything there?
I just like that they used him more around the goal line. I remember watching a lot of Jacksonville games, and he was getting a lot more rushing opportunities around the goal line. I mean, I don't remember. I think he was he was over 10 rushing touchdowns, I think. I don't remember the exact number, but
for who? ETN?
Yeah. It was a good jump in rushing touchdowns last year.
ETN had 11. 1,000 yards, 11 rushing touchdowns, 58 receptions, 76 yards on the touchdown. So 12 all day and 1,500 yards.
Yeah. The passing game, the receiving is what really, you know, draws me to ETN. That over 50 catches and almost 500 yards is good for a player like that, with getting over 1,000 yards on the ground too. So, yeah, I could see him having over 1,500 all-purpose yards this year, for sure. Yep. All right, so the other person I feel like we should talk about is Kyren Williams.
I got something for us real quick, Truck.
All right, go ahead.
This could be edited out of the episode because I haven't. It's a video submission that I just got from Frank the Dank. I have a feeling it's gonna be really funny, and I hope it's nothing inappropriate so that we don't have to edit this out. But this could be a really good moment.
Oh God, Frank the Dank.
I will say a little background on that, Shane. We got it. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but we got a call again that we are going back down to Mexico City for Ray the Cage.
Nice. And can I ask, in that video, is that black leather pants?
No, he's just got chinos on.
Okay, it looked for a second like it was black leather pants, which was going to take it to a whole new level.
No.
Yeah, that definitely would have.
Yeah, no, that would be outstanding. I might tell him to get some black leather pants for the episode.
God.
But the reason why he's beatboxing and dancing is because he said he's going to do that on the episode.
Okay.
I was like, yes, please, for sure, do that.
That's going to be outrageous. Frank the Dank is definitely a character.
Yeah, the more ridiculous you want to get, like, let's go. So. We'll know more in the next few weeks. Keep everyone posted on that. Again, not sure if I was supposed to say anything, but it's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, so the next guy we should talk about, I think, is Kyren Williams. Big conversation this offseason with them drafting Blake Corum. And, you know, for me, I don't see it changing much than it was last year. Of course, you know, he had 100% of the workload, so that's definitely going to change. The workload is going to come down, but I think he's still going to be an efficient runner, and I think he's the centerpiece of this offense. I don't see Blake Corum coming in week 1, 2, 3 early on in the season and taking a chunk of this work. So, you know, I look at it very similar to the Seahawks last year when they drafted Charbonnet with Kenneth Walker, and everyone was hyped on Charbonnet and low on Walker. And then, boom, early on in the season, Walker is a stud. So I see that being very similar to this year. Kyren Williams deserved to be in the top 10. And Shane, did you recently bump him up in your rankings?
Yeah, right after the draft, I had him in the teens, and I've lowered him. I mean, I've raised him up. I think this is more of a concern, the more I thought about it. Obviously, in Dynasty, I think there's some concern there. But for redraft, kind of like you said, like, they liked what Kyren Williams did. And even if he goes from – getting 20 plus carries to, let's just say, 15 to 17, he could still have great efficiency numbers in that offense. I'm not that concerned of Blake Corum. I think your analogy is a pretty good spot on one that I hadn't thought about with the Seahawks duo last year also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think I may actually be on the opposite side of that and move Kyren down a little bit, and not a ton, because I think he'll be the lead back there, and I think that role is so productive that he'll still have a great year. The only thing is, for me, is like, I think the NFL is trending in a direction, especially with those young guys out of that Shanahan tree, is they want to find guys with similar skill sets so they can have whatever skills, whatever running back skill set works in their offense. They want to keep that guy on the field at 100% at all times. And that's what Corum is. He's just, you know, he's a Kyren 2.0. He's a workhorse too, which is the thing that I like. If it was anyone else, if it was Charbonnet, like, the difference I see there is that Corum is one of those people. What makes him so good and what has made him the NFL or the athlete that he has been so far and the success he's had is because he's just like going to put in the work. He's never going to be the guy that's eating pizza or eating McDonald's like Ocho Cinco. Wasn't that Ocho Cinco that like ate McDonald's for every meal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's going to be everything he puts in his body is going to be to get on the NFL field and perform at a high level. That's just like who he is and why he's been so successful. So I think like Corum, given the opportunity, will have success, and it'll just be one of those situations to me that like could be not completely hot hand, as Kyren won't just be completely taken out of games. But if Corum's running, they'll let him run. So, you know, I don't think that's going to be much more than like, this is off the top of my head, 500 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns and whatever it ends up being. Again, haven't necessarily like modeled everything out, but I think Corum is good enough and a true professional that he's not going to be one of these Jonathan Taylor, ETN. I don't think Bucky Irving eats into as much of Rashad White's production as Corum will eat into Kyren's, James Cook. Like, I don't think Ray Davis, they're just stylistically so much different. If anyone, it's going to be Tyler Johnson that eats into his a little bit, but like, I don't think he's got enough skill to do that. So like, there may be, Kyren's still going to be in this range and he's still going to produce at a high level. I just don't think he has the same upside as he did last year.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say with the addition of Corum.
So like, he ended up PPR RB7 in 12 games. So you got to think he's top three in 16 games. And I just don't think he's got top three upside anymore. That's all I got to say there. When everyone above him in my rankings does. So.
Yeah. And I share that same sentiment with you. You know, early on prior to the draft, I had Kyren up in like the top three, top four, without Corum. Very similar to where he would have ended up last year if he played a full season. But yeah, that makes sense. It's, you know, limit your expectations, but he's still a stud and he's still going to get his work in.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you got Jonathan Brooks at 12. I have him at 18 and Shane's down at 21. Talk about Jonathan Brooks, man.
To be completely honest, like, my brain is fully best ball, so that is a reflection of that more so. Like, I don't know. This is the perfect example of what I said earlier of, like, I'm not super excited to have this conversation because Brooks is someone that, like, I don't know if he's going to be totally healthy to start the year. I think it says the last report I read is that he will be at camp. So like, to me, that means he has enough time to hopefully be ready for the beginning of the season and maybe just not at 100%, but he's the kind of guy that he's good enough If he didn't get it, if he didn't have that ACL injury last year, he would have been a first round running back. Mm-hmm. If he, he's entering a team that is filling so much production still, like, I think they're going to take a huge step forward. Canales has done some amazing things with every quarterback he's worked with. Bryce Young, I'm not giving up on him. I think he's still a beast.
Yeah.
So there's going to be – that team's going to take a big step forward in a very weak division. And there's a lot of production to fill. And if Brooks is the guy that I think he is, he's going to have not only top 12 upside, he's going to have top 5 upside. So, you know, best ball, I'm drafting him everywhere I can just because I know for a fact – he's going to have an outstanding late season, potentially league winner type guy. Same with keeper leagues. Like, hopefully we don't have any BML guys watching this, because this is just the classic Coles draft pick. Like,
give in me a keeper league. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll take him a round early, or just let, you know, everyone forget about him and then grab him. Like, he's just the perfect keeper back.
I mean, we see it all the time in previous years. The rookie running backs come in and they light the league on fire, and he's the best candidate in my opinion to get that done this year. But I have him down at 18 just because the uncertainty, the riskiness of him not starting the season. So if you draft a couple running backs that you feel good about prior to him, or even after him, you know, and you can leave him on the bench for a while, he's a great draft pick in my opinion. But I could see him really exploding at the end of the year and being a league winner.
Yeah, I think the only other back that has really a chance in my mind would be like Marshawn Lloyd if Jacobs gets injured. That was a cute laugh, Shane O'Mac. Benson maybe as well, like if Connor goes down. So other than that, none of these other running backs have the skill set to break off. What is the stat? Do we know what the stat is?
For what?
Running backs, rookie running backs. Every year there's like a top 10, is it? There's something crazy where it's like every year in the past 20 years there's been a top 10 rookie running back, something crazy like that. I
remember seeing that. I just off the top of my head I wouldn't be able to mention it.
Yeah, I wish we had a stat guy that can Google that.
maybe one day.
Yeah, I won't be able to find it. I just will be completely sidetracked, but I'll find it and we can tweet it out from our account later on. But that in terms of like who's going to be that back, it's for sure Brooks, unless injury upon Lloyd or for Jacobs or Connor.
Mm-hmm.
But from a skill set standpoint, those are the only two. Like, I don't, Jalen Wright will never have that opportunity. So,
yeah, that's fair. All right, what about the guy you have directly under Brooks, who I love, DeAndre Swift, go Bears. You know, I think, Shane, where are you at with DeAndre Swift? Are you okay? So we have him at 13, 14, and 15. Yeah. You know, I heard somebody on Twitter, I saw a tweet, somebody said about DeAndre Swift, he's in a three-headed backfield, and that to me is completely asinine. DeAndre Swift is brought in to be the lead back. Khalil Herbert's likely to be off the team by the start of the season, and Roschon Johnson is going to be the spell guy. So I think Swift is set up for a big year. I love what the Bears did this offseason, obviously, and I think they're going to be a really good team, and DeAndre Swift is going to benefit from that. So I don't know, Coles, do you have any other things to say about Swift?
Yeah, I have nothing to say about him until you apologize, so.
The Twitter.
When you apologize, maybe hopefully before we do this again in August, then maybe I'll have something to say there. But
or when he retires.
So yeah. You apologize. I literally can't think of anything about him besides the apology that needs to happen.
About my repentance. Yes. Yeah. I was in previous years, not very high on Swift, but now he's a Bear. So I need to apologize for that. But
I don't understand. I mean, like, he's going in rounds, like I've seen him go in round 7 of drafts, and I just don't get it. Like, he had, I think it was like 10 or 11 top 25 RB finishes. And that was only with scoring, I think, 5 touchdowns last year because of Jalen Hurts. So I think he doubles that amount this year. He gets to 10.
And even if Roschon gets those like goal line carries because he's considered the quote unquote power back, then like, I just still think he's going to have, he's such a playmaker in an offense that is going to cater exactly to that. And there's not going to be this, it's going to be similar to the Eagles offense where like you have to give every single weapon on the field attention. So he's the kind of guy that operates in space. I can't say anything until there's an apology. So.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he's able to do out of the backfield in the receiving game. I think he could really make a big impact catching the ball. I could see him having 60 receptions this year. So I'm excited to see how that works out.
Yeah, I almost gave a little to him. I almost broke down some analysis there, and I just can't. So.
All right, well, how about someone you should talk about? Brian Robinson. Previous years, B-Rob. We could not say worse things about him as an NFL running back. And yet this year, you know, the tides have changed, right? The tables have turned. Brian Robinson is set up to be the lead guy over there in a better offense with a better quarterback. And I'm excited to see what he can do this year. You know, he was great in the passing game in spurts last year. And I don't think Austin Eckler is really going to take command of this backfield. I think this is B-Rob's job, and he's going to run away with it.
You know, Max got him at 34. I have him at 16.
Wow.
16 is aggressive. And as you mentioned, that's a guy that in the past I was like, he sucks. There's no shot. I thought he was very similar to like Bo Scarborough. Do you guys remember who that is?
Yeah. Hey, Bo had a stint with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the same thing as Bo Scarborough. Just not a very impressive big back out of Alabama that, you know, is a product of a great offensive line in college. And just kind of that's what he is, which doesn't translate well to the NFL. And he's proven me wrong. So I have him egregiously high because I think Eckler doesn't. He's not that he's a shell of himself. And in order for him to perform and offer value to that team, he's going to have to be very selective in when he chooses to do that. That was a nice undercover yawn, Shane O'Mac. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. Shane's nap time.
I looked up randomly at Shane right when
I did. I hit it.
Yeah, that was great. That honestly was. So in order for Eckler to be effective to win, help them win football games, he's going to have to do it like in spurts. And like, I just don't think he's going to be much more than a 10 target type back. If that's the case, then Brian Robinson, he was running back 22 last year. He's going to be in an offense that's much better. He's supposedly going to be involved heavily in the pass game, and he looks really good doing that. I don't know if you've seen any of those highlights through camp, but he looks like he's a weapon out of the backfield catching the ball. So I just think that like him being RB22 last year in a team that didn't really cater to his skill set and never really let him break out in a team that just sucked, with Jaden Daniels, everything should improve. The team should improve. Therefore, I like him to have a big year. I just don't think Eckler has enough to kind of hinder him. So that's just where I'm at with B-Rob. I don't see any of his over-unders in DraftKings, which is unfortunate, probably just because there's so much, like, what's going to happen there. They don't want to post a bad line. That would be one that, regardless of what it looks like, I would take the over, because it can't be more than 700 yards or, you know. So I don't know. That's my thought process there. I think he is a lot better than I had thought, and he's going to be in an offense with a lot of opportunity that I think improves from last year.
Yeah, and I love what Craig Hoffman had to say about him too. If you guys haven't watched that episode, we covered the Washington Commanders, and he had glowing reports for Brian Robinson. So, you know, that gave me a lot of confidence and had me bump him up a couple spots as well. All right, well, let's talk about someone who just got paid, Ramondre Stevenson. We are all three lower than consensus on Ramondre, and I'm sure I spelled his name incorrectly in the rankings, which I tend to do. Ramondre. I don't see the Patriots being very good this year, and I don't like to draft running backs on bad teams, and that's really my main reason for bringing him down. I do think he's a talented running back, but the quality of carries and not many scoring opportunities has me drop him quite a few spots.
Yeah, I got nothing there. I just full fade the Patriots pretty much.
Yeah, not a bad move.
I think for me, it's like a lot of his production's based off of his receiving capability. He missed, I think it was 5 or 6 games last year, but he still had like 40 catches, and the year before he had 70. I just don't think that receiving role was there this year with them bringing Antonio Gibson over from Washington. I think a lot of those targets go to the way of Gibson. And so if you're going to take out a chunk of the receiving, combine that with probably the Patriots were last in points per game last year. I don't think they get too much better this year. There's just not a lot of opportunity, I don't think, for him.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. All right, I'll talk about this guy. I have him pretty high. I am at 16 is James Conner. Mike, you have him down at 32. Shane, you have him at 23, so you're kind of split in the middle there. I think ECR has him around 20. Let's see.
You have James
21 Conor. For
James, huh? Conner.
You have James Conner.
Conner.
I have James Conner. That's a common way to spell Conner. So that James was my bet. Anyway, James Conner. The team's going to get better, in my opinion, with the addition of Marvin Harrison. We saw him last year have multiple games over 100 yards rushing. I think it was 4 games throughout the span of the season. The knock on him, which is a fair knock, is he gets injured, right? He doesn't play full seasons. I'd like
and
to see what
he had cancer.
And he beat cancer, absolutely. So, but I like his role in this offense. He's one of those running backs that's a workhorse and can still catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a tough runner. So that kind of speaks on why I have him above consensus. But do you guys have any insight as to if I'm crazy or not?
Yeah, I think that it's safe to say that this year Truck's best friend is James Conner.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Jacoby Myers.
Last year was Jacoby Myers,
best friend last year, and this year it is James Conner, Truck's best Conner.
James Conner. Write it down.
James,
put it in the books.
James Conner locked in. Truck's best friend, James Conner. I just think he's going to get hurt, and I like Trey Benson, and I don't. Again, this is one of my just fading him takes. He is good and he's productive when he's on the field. If the Cardinals are good, then I think James Conner will be good. I just don't know that the Cardinals are going to be good. So I don't know. I'm probably fading a lot of the Cardinals hype this year.
Yeah, I know, Shane, you're on the other side of that, right?
Well, I think no. I mean, he's age 29, and then the injuries, you know, 8 games over the last 2 years he's missed.
Compromised immune system.
Trey Benson he was one of my favorite backs coming out. So
do we know if he's vaxxed, Shane? Does he have his COVID vaccine?
I don't have the vax status. Right.
Let's not mention that. I don't want to get demonetized. But yeah, I get the knock on him, and I might have him a little too high, but he is my best friend this year, as we just coined that now. So I'll probably have a lot of him on my teams. All right, so let's get to a little bit further down. Tony Pollard is on a new team. Shane, he left the Cowboys, goes to the Titans, ruins the hype on Tyjae Spears. Shane, what are your expectations for Pollard this year? You watched him pretty closely while he was on the Cowboys.
I think we talked about this when we did our free agency reaction show. Like, I think this is a great landing spot for him. And a lot of people don't feel that way. They hate it because of Spears being there. But when Pollard was at his best with Dallas was when Zeke was there and taking away some of the carries. He is one of those backs that's actually better and more efficient when you're not putting the load on him. I think he could be an explosive back and still carry value with Spears there. I think he's one of those guys that is perfectly suited for a 60-40 split.
A what? 60-40?
Yeah.
60-40 Pollard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me read you what I texted our boy VT.
VT?
I texted VT. What are your projected split from Pollard Spears? Man, to be honest, really tough to say. I know it's not a very confident answer. As much as I can see a world in which Pollard is RB1, I think it'll be 60-40 Spears. That's coming from a fan of the team. I think, like, it's probably 60-40 Pollard, and Shane's right, and he's just saying that, like, over the course of the season, Spears will be the better back. And maybe that flips a little bit. And I honestly see that as being true. Like, I could see that happening. Like, if you looked at how Pollard made his success, it was being explosive plays. And, you know, we see the whole Cowboys thing, which I'm glad we weren't doing this podcast and having Shane just, did you guys see Pollard's run last week? Because I'd probably hate it. But I think Spears is the younger, just like has a little bit more pop type back. Yeah, he has those injuries in the past, and that's been a big concern. But he is a home run hitting back. Like, he looked, there's times last year, I know you both saw some plays where you were like, damn, Tyjae Spears has got it, you know? So if he ever catches, then I could see him kind of edging out Pollard. But again, that's a big if based on health, based on, a few factors. But one of the most surprising things looking at the DraftKings lines here, Truck, this may be the first under that I see Truck take on the board. Tony Pollard, 800.5 rushing yards, 6.5 rushing touchdowns. So Vegas has a pretty healthy number there for Pollard. I don't know. What do you think, Shane? I was hearing that. 806.5, man.
I don't know if I don't know if I would go the over on that. I think it's going to be, even a 60-40 split is maybe not enough to.
Yeah, like 750, I think I would be like.
Yeah.
I think 750 is kind of where I would tap out on Pollard. Let's see what, like, I guess last year's not really a good indication of anything, but Spears last year had 453 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 385 receiving and a touchdown. So, like, his numbers will go up, I think. He was PPR 34 back last year. That's all surprising to me reading it. Yeah, I don't know. If Spears ends up with 600 rushing yards, is there a world where Pollard has over 800? I don't know. We'll have to dive into that a little bit more. Because I think there is a lot of value to be found if you get the right back in that backfield.
Yeah.
That Titans are a team that if you can figure them out and they have success, there's going to be a ton of value. So they're worth looking into a little bit further. I have Spears at 30 and Pollard at 31 just because I want to find out which back I'm going to start drafting more. I don't know which one it'll be, but as of right now, potentially Spears. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to see how that works out with those two, but I just don't see the Titans being very good this year, so probably out on Pollard and Spears.
Here's the most shocking. I'm not personally shocked because I think he's not good, but one of the more shocking things I saw when reviewing is whoever has him, oh, that was me, has him highlighted there. Zamir White, Shane has his RB20 truck, RB23. I have him as 28. I think I could probably move him down even further after reading this. DraftKings has him at 775.5 and 4.5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know who they think is going to get the rest of that rushing production, or if they just agree that Zamir White sucks, but that is egregiously low, I feel like.
Yeah.
That is low. I mean, you got Alexander Mattison and Dylan Laub in that backfield. So, yeah, I was higher on Zamir prior to watching his highlight reel when I sent it over to Mike. Watching the highlight reel, it was not impressive at all. I forgot
or something, and I was like, yeah, "Can you just send me his tape? I'd like to like it more, but I think
I never watched his tape before." Yeah, I was just looking
at numbers. I don't know, man. Yeah. Like to me, he is what Shane O'Mac said the other day when he hopped on stream. He says, "I'm really worried that Zamir White is my Alexander Mattison." Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it should also worry you that they have Alexander Mattison. So I don't know if that could be more in your face of a sign or stick to your guns and go with them, because there's a lot of the Raiders, especially like when we talked to Kawamoto, but like the Raiders should hard nose run the ball and play defense, and that's how they're going to try to win games, not trying to do too much on offense. So like it's setting up for him to have a bunch of success. I just don't think he's good enough. We also are hearing in camp that he looks insane and he looks so good, so that's like instills a little bit of confidence as well. So the opportunity he has with a team that should play to his skill set and he looks like a superhero, yeah, he should maybe be a top 20 back. I just don't think he will be. I don't think that the Raiders are going to be any good either. I don't think he's any good.
I think what worries,
could this be your Mattison, Shane, is like everything was set up for Mattison to have an awesome year too last year.
That's what I was going to say. What worries me is like the data. You look, it's like, oh, four games without Josh Jacob. You know, he did this, he did this, he did this, which was great. It was like top 15 numbers. But that was the same narrative we had with Alexander Mattison when Dalvin Cook didn't play for like four to six games. I would say probably the only positive, you know, to try to offset that is I think Antonio Pierce loves him. He has had a lot of glowing things to say about him. But that is my concern, is this same stat narrative is the same thing that I spouted off about Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, and it was like he still has to be good. The only thing I saw with the highlight tape, it confirmed all of my thoughts about Zamir White. It was like nothing special at all, but he does read the holes well. But then he'll get tackled. So, you know, he hits the right holes. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, he hits the right holes, gets to the edge pretty quickly, but just doesn't do a good job of making people miss. Seems to be going down on the initial contact. So, yeah, I don't think the Raiders are going to be very good, but it's a volume play for me with Zamir, and I think they love him there. So,
here is Zamir to me. He is the classic. He's the guy. Here, let me just help you out there. But he's your Thanks. Classic guy that why NFL players, why some people will say, here, let me just keep going. Why some people will say that NFL players are not athletic, but they're like fast and they hit like they're strong and they're fast. He's the perfect example. Is I doubt he's a good athlete. Like, I bet you give him a basketball or you give him a baseball bat and it's like not very coordinated, but give me the ball. Let me run hard. He does that, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
He's not Saquon. He's not Bijan. He's not an athlete. I would assume that's the bucket I put him in.
Yeah. Let's talk about Joe Mixon on a new team, joining one of the better ascending teams in the NFL with the Houston Texans, gearing up to be RB1. I know Joe Mixon has a lot of miles on him. He was used and abused in Cincinnati, but he's still a good running back to me. I have him inside the top 20. Shane's a little bit higher. He's got him at 16, and Mike's all the way down at 22. It doesn't make sense to me that how he could have a bad year in this offense. I think the Texans are going to be really good, and I think they're going to utilize him with his skill set. Shane, I know you have him as the highest. What's up with Joe Mixon?
Yeah, so I like, you know, the offense he went into. I was surprised when I looked because he had, and I'm guessing maybe the yards per carry wasn't great, but he still had, I think it was 10 or 11 top 20 finishes, you know, more than, you know, Breece Hall or Etienne or Kyren Williams or Jahmyr Gibbs, I believe. And that was just on probably a worst offense that he's going to have this year. So I think I like that. I like that his competition for carries in the running back room is Damian Pierce, which is not saying much. So if he averaged, I think it was 15 or 16 carries a game last year in Cincinnati, I think he could be at a similar mark this year. So where he could still have a lot of those same numbers.
Yeah, and he can still catch the ball.
On DraftKings.
875 and a half?
On DraftKings.
Okay. What about the touchdowns?
Doesn't have it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see him doing better than that. You know, over 1,000 yards in two out of the last three seasons, back to back seasons with 50 or more receptions. I like Joe Mixon still. I think he's going to be really good on the Texans. I'll be drafting him.
I got a pretty sick CJ Stroud jersey that Truck's ordering me.
Oh, yeah. Those new jerseys, I mean, we could just talk about that for a second. Those jerseys are sick. Yeah, Shane, you know the ones we're talking about?
No, which, well, I mean, they've got like the new ones this year.
So they updated their regular uniforms. So that's a redesign on the regular uniforms. But then they also have their H-Town, Color Rush, you know, alternate jerseys, which are like a baby blue. It's like the Oilers colors. They're just revamped into a new color scheme and new design. They're sick. They're absolutely sick.
Do you have your phone next to Shane?
Yeah.
Check out the picture I just sent you. That's the one Truck's going to get me.
Oh, yeah. That is.
Yeah.
It's got the Texas logo on the arm. the H town on the left pec.
Yeah, nice.
That's sweet.
Yeah,
it's a little Patreon. All right, let's as well.
back to the rankings here. We only got probably a few other names to talk about. Zach Moss is in an interesting situation on the Bengals. You know, ironically, we're just talking about Joe Mixon, but Zach Moss coming to the Bengals in a backfield with Chase Brown, what that split's going to look like. You know, Mike was talking about it early on in the episode where we just really don't know how these backfields are going to shake out. And this is a prime example of that situation where, yeah, Zach Moss played really, really well while Jonathan Taylor was injured last year. He was one of the best runners in the NFL. I mean, he was his fantasy production was definitely elite. So I think the sky's the limit for Zach Moss, but it's really all depends on how much they're going to utilize Chase Brown, in my opinion, in that split. But Coles, I know you're high on Zach Moss. I know you have him at 24. I am at 27, not too far down. And then Shane is, where are you at, Shane? Oh, you're at 24 as well. I guess I'm the lowest on Zach Moss.
Yeah, they went out and got him for a reason. They let Joe Mixon go to get Zach Moss. That's exactly what they want, his skill set in that offense. So I think he's going to be on the field all the time. I think that the Bengals are a team that's going to have an outstanding year. So because of that, give me all the Zach Moss. I also think that you were talking about Zach Charbonnet. The Zach Charbonnet of this year, I think, is Chase Brown. I think he's being drafted pretty highly. I just don't think that I don't think he's good enough to be on the field. I don't think it's going to be a 60-40 split because I don't think Chase Brown is that good. Last year, he was healthy for 12 games. He had 179 rushing yards, 156 receiving yards, a touchdown. Like, I don't know that he's going to – he's not going to be really worth much. So I think the Zach Charbonnet of this next year is going to be, for me, Chase Brown. I think it's all Moss. Vegas seems to think the same thing, 850.5 and 6.5 touchdowns. So I like those numbers looking at him stacked up with everyone else. They have him having more rushing yards than Najee, David Montgomery, right in line with Mixon, Rashad White. So, I think those are healthy numbers from Vegas. Confirms what I've originally thought of. Zach Moss is going to have a big year. Chase Brown is all hype. About it.
Yeah, Chase Brown didn't really show much last year, even when he did touch the ball.
He had one play, you know, that was like a nice catch for a touchdown open in space, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I'll probably be moving Zach Moss up in my rankings after this. I could easily move him over Ramondre and then Jalen and Najee, very similar, those two. But yeah, I could see him in that range of 23, 24, the back end of the RB2 range.
Let's just go ahead and say Zamir's a bust too. Toss him up to 23. Then you'll be the top guy on him.
All right, do it. Make the move. Let's go. Make the move for me. Let's go. I'm comfortable with that. I like the Bengals this year, man. I really do. So,
Shane O'Mac. Someone, I don't know why I want you to talk about him, but I do want you to talk about him. Aaron Jones, what do you expect to see from him this year? That's a guy that we haven't talked about. He's kind of just getting lost in the mix.
He is, yeah.
Just talk about him. I want to hear, before I say anything, I want to hear what you think about him.
So I don't, you know, I think value-wise, like, he's not, for me, I don't lower him too much more because of the change in offenses, because I think the Vikings and my confidence and Kevin O'Connell is so high that even if it's Sam Darnold or JJ McCarthy, that offense will be productive enough to him gain value. For me, it's just always my concern with Aaron Jones and why I am so going to be heavy on Ty Chandler drafts picks later in the draft is just he's always missing chunks of time. And so late in drafts, you're going to see me swoop in and take a lot of Ty Chandler shares because he just hasn't proven to be able to, you know, stay on the field for, you know, a long time of the season. So I'm not concerned about his production and moving of offenses. I think he could be just as productive in this Minnesota offense.
Yeah. That's I mean, it's safe to say he's a playmaker. Like that's who Aaron Jones is. When he touches the ball, he makes big plays. So
It's crazy that I'm the lowest on him in my rankings because I feel like I'm the highest on him of everyone, which is pretty wild. And then looking at it, I can't really put him above everyone. Maybe Mixon. I like Javonte. I like Najee. So I don't know. That's kind of crazy to me that I'm the lowest on him. 750 and a half and 5.5 rushing touchdowns. You know, he'll have receiving upside as well. So, I like Aaron Jones. I think he's going to have kind of like – I think he wanted to stay a Packer, and he's kind of has that chip on his shoulder. Like, you guys moved on from me. So you're going to see him kind of have some big games, hopefully against the Packers. I like him a lot. I think he's an awesome player. I'd love to see him have some big games against the Pack, but hopefully he stays healthy. And if he does, he could have a huge year. I think you can kind of put him in the same bucket as, like, Kamara. I think if Kamara stays healthy, he'll have a good year. So hopefully these guys do, and then they'll pay out in value, seeing as they're being drafted in that like later zero RB type range.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that the comparison with Alvin Kamara. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another backfield that I don't think – two backfields that I don't think that – like my rankings for some of these players – Spears Pollard, I want to see how that plays out. Jerome Ford through J.K. Dobbins. Like, there's going to be value like there always is in the Browns' backfield because of how good their line is. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins with the Chargers. Harbaugh likes to run the ball and have an established run game. You're going to have value in these two backfields. I just don't – it's too early on for me to say where it comes from. You could say the same with Dowdle and Zeke. So like this range for me, I just felt so much still has to play out and depend. You could say the same against McLaughlin. You can say the same for Ray Davis if he ends up being that power running guy for the Bills. So, you know, I don't know how much more I want to talk about a lot of these guys because so much depends on what plays out in camp. You know?
Yeah, that's very well said. I think that pocket of players you just described is there's definitely going to be value on some of those players. So we just have to wait and see, pay close attention to them during camp and see where the signs are pointing because I love Chubb. I hope he comes back early. I like J.K. Dobbins. Is he going to be able to return from that injury? You know, these are questions that need to be answered. So,
going to be awesome. You know,
I will answer of those questions for you. J.K. Dobbins is not going to return this year to much of anything, I don't think.
What about Daniel Jeremiah, who covers the Chargers, that said, if you play fantasy football, draft J.K. Dobbins?
I'm not buying coming off the torn Achilles, and he was not been able to stay healthy every year. And
if Daniel Jeremiah is saying that he has seen something in camp or in these early workouts that would give him a reason to say that. And if he's seeing that already, I think J.K. Dobbins, he's such a talented running back. I mean, gruesome injury, of course, but if anybody can come back from it and be, a useful running back being drafted after 35, basically free in drafts, I think J.K. could be that guy. But sorry to cut you off, Shane.
It feels like I'm going to date myself again, the Charlie Brown, Lucy pulls the football away again. It seems like To me, I think Gus Edwards is the screaming value, like late in their draft. Like what he did last year, only averaging 11 carries a game, and now it's just him and JK, and JK's not going to come in for the first half of the season and get double digit, you know, he's not going to get a 50-50 split of that backfield.
Yeah. Gus Edwards is also dealing with an injury currently. Did you hear about that one, Shane, or no?
Unless it's something major, I don't think it's,
he missed it's not major. Minicamp.
Yeah.
He'll be back for
camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be back for camp. But you know, it's not something great to, be dealing with an injury, at this point in the season.
It's like the Kyren Williams mini camp absences.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, I think that about does it. I feel like we covered a lot. We talked about, you know, these questionable backfields, talked about running backs that should perform more than expectations. And I'm pretty satisfied with it. So great work, boys. And I hope everybody enjoyed. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel.
Oh, I got something, though.
Of course you do.
I'm talking like a whole segment worth of things. I'd like to talk about, I think, as that range, this, I just think there's value in this, and we should be, this is a good, good segment to talk on. So in this range, this last range, or not, it could be anywhere in these rankings, but what I started off with saying, there's so much that needs to play out. So a lot of this is speculation. I want all three of us to speculate and make an assumption on one of these backfields, and because of that, there will be value. Mm-hmm. So, Shane, if you think you're ready to come up with an answer for that, and you don't necessarily have to like allude to your rankings, but you know, Devin Singletary stepping into the Giants, any of these backfields that you know there's going to have to be some assumptions made, go ahead and do it.
Well, I think, yeah, so mine is Gus Edwards is the 60-70% back for the Chargers. I don't think where's JK.
Where's the 30? Where's the 40 or 70?
A 30. 30
where does
is
the 40 or 30% come from?
Let's call it 30. If it's Dobbins, if he doesn't start off, I mean, I don't somebody else, I don't know, but I think Gus Edwards, you know, you're looking at 15 carries a game for the first half of the season, I'll call it.
So regardless of who staggers him at that 30%, you think 70% snap, whatever production split goes to Gus?
Yes.
And you think that's only 15 carries in a Harbaugh offense?
Could be. I don't. Yeah, maybe. I'm going to call it. Yeah, I'm just going to say he's at 15 carries a game, which that would bump him up from like 5 from last year. I don't know.
That's
I don't think it would be. I don't think he's going to be 25 carry game. I think he sits in that
a lot.
15 to 17 yeah. range. But 15 to 17 with locked in at the goal line opportunity.
That's where he was at last year, kind of. I mean, 15 carries in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, I guess. Only 5, but he still had quite a few from that 12 to 14 range. So,
yeah.
I think he gets more carries than he had last year.
Yeah, so put him at 15 to 17, and he gets locked in as the goal line guy. That's, you know, I guess that when you're looking at potential shared backfields, that's the one I feel most confident in.
I just don't know. Like, 15 carries, I still don't like his numbers. Like, he's your, like, 15 carry for 60-yard guy.
Yeah.
And hopefully he gets you a touchdown. So to me, he's still a touchdown dependent play, even if he has 15 carries. 29-year-old back. I don't know. I'm not sold on Gus. I like him in best ball. We've been drafting him there because, like I said, touchdown dependent. Like, he did score touchdowns last season in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. nine games, so you're going to guaranteed nine starts from him. I don't think he does that same thing with the Chargers, but I just think the run game for the Ravens was better. I don't know. That's an interesting one. What about you, Truck?
The one I'm looking at, which I, you know, doesn't really reflect in my rankings too much, but I think Rico Dowdle is going to look like the better running back in Dallas. You know, we like Dallas offense. This offense is a high powered. They score a lot of points, and you know, Zeke just doesn't look good on the field. He hasn't in quite some time. And Rico is, you know, he's coming into his own form. So I think that's an opportunity drafting Rico Dowdle late that you could, you know, get paid back in value pretty handsomely. So I'd be looking to, I'd probably move Rico up quite a few spots now that I'm talking about it.
How does that make you feel, Shane, that Zeke looks like shit on the field?
Well, that's not, years? Yeah, that's not a shocker at all. In my in my ideal world, they would, you know, something happens to Zeke or Dowdle and they make a play for like a Herbert or
Lil Herbie
or Javonte or Tyler Algier, one of those guys.
Yep.
What about you, Mike?
Also not reflected in my rankings. Like someone like McLaughlin, if he actually does become that lead back and gain 9 pounds, I think he could be outstanding. I do have Javonte because I think he's just still a very good running back in this league. And if he can be the Kamara receiving back out of the rookie-led offense this year, there's a ton of value on Javonte. So I still think Javonte wins that backfield if they want to win now and play, you know, play ball like that. Other than that, man, like Spears over Pollard, I think I would be ready to make that stance. I just like what we saw out of Spears from Pop. Reading his stats from last year, I was surprised at all that production too. He played 17 mm-hmm. games. I like Spears. I think he would be a surprise pick, someone that I'd like to start targeting more in best ball because of the upside. And if he ends up having that 60-40, there could be some big games out of that. That's about it. I do think Ray Davis wins that power running back role in Buffalo. And that's a team that... I'm not going to say like, I think like whatever that power running role in the Bills offense has been the last couple years, you can maybe tick it up a little bit. Just because I think if the run game's working for them, they will start to run it down people's throats as they figure out that receiving core. So yeah, I don't know. Those are a few.
Yeah. I like the Ray Davis one. I like that. They've been looking for that, you know, bruiser running back, you know, in previous years. So I think he fills that role.
Yeah. And then before we sign out, just some interesting things based on looking at the numbers on DraftKings. Mostert, 700.5 rushing yards and 8.5 touchdowns. So if he even sniffs those numbers, we're going to be far off. I have him at 50. That's probably irresponsible of me. Truck has him at 30. And
32.
Shane O'Mac has him at 32. I have him at 50 just because, like, I don't like to project injury, but, like, he's another guy that I can just see going down very early, and I just I just threw him down there because I don't want a single share of him.
Yeah.
So it could be 50, it could be fucking, you know, 35. I just don't want him.
Well, when you have the year that he had last year, at his age, with his history, it just seems like a year that he's going to get injured, so I get that. But
like they went out and got Jalen Wright, a guy who's very similar to A-Chain. They want those guys on the field, so Mostert will get a little bit. But, like, I just – even if he has – I don't think, like, that year he'll even have an opportunity for that. Like, early on in the season, I don't think they're going to just be like, Mostert had a great year, let's run him out there. I think they're going to have those two speed backs on the field as much as they can and then, you know, throw Mostert in there to kind of get that idle time where it's like, all right, let's just – you know, hammer out a few drives. Classic like NFL game flow of eating clock and just playing the field. I don't know. I don't see him having that same opportunity he had last year, regardless.
That's just which me. Speaks as to why I'm at 50.
Yeah, but again, that's just, you know, I don't want this player, so I'm going to put him.
Yeah. In. Yeah, he's on your do not draft list. All right, well, I think that about covers it, right, Mike, after we went through the end of the
1,500 rushing, 6.5 rushing touchdowns. I would take the over. I think the rushing touchdowns of 6.5 for Saquon to me is like an over. It's just being dramatic about the Hurts rushing touchdown, his rushing touchdowns vulturing it. Like Saquon yeah. get more than that just from breakaway runs mm-hmm. alone. And I think he'll be used at the goal line a lot more than people think. So that stuck out to me. But other than that, I think it's just kind of wait and see. We'll see these lines will get updated, and so are all our rankings. And next time we talk running backs, we'll have done a projection model, hopefully, and we'll all have heard some solid news coming out of camp other mm-hmm. than, you know, what we're hearing now.
Yeah, so remember, this is pre-training camp, so a lot of stuff is still to come out. These rankings will be changing. Like Shane said, they are fluid, so be on the lookout for a future episode where we talk breakdown running backs. But I hope you guys had a good time. Again, like the video, subscribe to the channel, check us out on social media, and buckle up.